Yes, the ominous tones of doom mean only one thing. Welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. It's the Dark Mark Show, your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio, or iTunes, or Stitcher, or Spotify. Soon to be on iHeartRadio and wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian.
And I'm Hannah Bach, his co-host.
Oh, okay. We're still trying to figure that out. By the way, Hannah Bach is everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ.
Not everyone's. I have, you know, people, they like me or they just dislike me, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what other vegan heavy metal DJs are there?
There's not any that I know of, actually.
I'll bet these two guys probably know some.
Maybe.
They're pointing at each other. We've got, this is another Hannah's choice.
It is my choice, and I'm excited that I got two of, like, the coolest dudes together.
You want to introduce the coolest dudes, or you want me to?
You go for it.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to be, like, interrupting you a lot tonight and talking to them.
You never do that.
I know.
Well, to my left, because I'm left-handed. Sorry, Phil. We've got YouTube Sensation, and I've been watching his recipes, nachos, lasagna. He's had so many hits. The genius who took meatless and black metal and put them together. It's the vegan black metal chef.
Greetings, listeners of the Dark Mark Show.
Yes. And the formerly a sponsor, hopefully a sponsor again. Hannah's got some ideas. We'll talk to you after the show. But,
sure.
But somebody I've known for years, somebody I haven't seen in years, but one of my favorite restaurants in L.A., if not my favorite,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not even a vegan.
Neither am I.
I know, we're going to talk about that.
Oh, shit.
Phil Doomy of Doomy's Home Cooking.
Doomy.
And you guys, have you ever met before? Or you've gone
to
his house?
We have met before. Actually, I used to do meet and greets at Doomy's before I moved out to L.A.
How ironic.
Just visiting.
True. Wow. True story.
Meet and greets, how ironic. So,
more like eat and greets.
Yes, meatless and greets, yes. Anyway, before we get started, our sponsors, real quick, just talked to one today, Hillary. Hillary says hi.
Hillary said hello.
You know Hillary.
Hillary's Vanity?
Hillary's Vanity.
Yes.
Hillary'sVanity.com. Have you been to the new store?
I don't get out much.
Yeah, she has a new store in Burbank. Burbank is the new Melrose.
Congrats to her. I think I saw that.
1018 North Hollywood Way, right across from Porto's. Now, she's going to be in Scare LA this weekend, so I think the store will be, I don't know if they're going to close it or what's going to happen, but if you're in L.A., go to the store at 1018 North Hollywood Way. If you're not in L.A., go to HillarysVanity.com for the best goth and even metal clothes. Don't, you know,
everything.
She's everything. Oh, yeah, everything. She's got a lot of rubber, a lot of interesting things, vests, parasols from size extra small, which Hannah, I think, is.
I wish.
To 4X, which I'm not quite there yet, but if I eat with you guys, we'll see what happens. So,
yeah.
But no matter your
I can
size,
get you there.
I'm sure you can. No matter your size, I was reading about your cheesesteak today. So, no matter what your size, you got it. HillarysVanity.com. Audible, love audiobooks. I was just in Vegas listening to an audiobook. If you go to audibletrial.com/DMS, DMS for the Dark Mark Show, free 30-day trial at Audible, free book. They have a new show. Bob Newhart, Hi Bob, where 90-year-old Bob Newhart interviews comedians like Sarah Silverman, Judd Apatow, Will Ferrell. That's what I was listening to on the way to Vegas. Very entertaining. You get any book you want, Stephen King books, 50 Shades of Grey. I'm sure they have cookbooks. Your book's not on Audible, is it?
It is not, even though I'm actually a huge fan of audiobooks and even purchased one just this morning.
See, you... I think your cookbook is perfect for
you
Audible.
You need to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
The voice.
That would be good. It would almost be
sound
like
effects.
Maybe a cookbook companion.
Right.
Or something like that. Because really the book is it's kind of a multimedia book.
That's right. We're going to talk about that. But maybe you could do a supplement to, you know, little thing for Audible. Who knows? But anyway, audibletrial.com/DMS. Get a book. It's free. And one more sponsor.
We have Lionel Monroe Hat Company. Jamie Lynn Berman handmakes hats custom to your head. And just hit her up on Facebook at Lionel Monroe Hat Company.
Yes. Well, you're my co-host for about 3 or 4 months.
I think 6.
No, it's been almost 7. But
You
were my co-host about 3 or 4 months before I figured out you actually said on the air you were vegan. I had no idea.
Oh, it's like right there on my Instagram.
I
don't go around
shouting.
That's
how much I pay attention to Instagram.
Oh, I don't go around shouting it out unless like somebody asks me to go eat somewhere.
Right. And when did you become vegan?
I've been vegan for about 3.5 years, and I was vegetarian for 10.
Oh, okay. And when did you come across the vegan black metal chef?
About 2-3 years ago, I had my friend sent me a link to your YouTube, and he's like, hey, check this guy out. Do you know who he is? I'm like, no. And then, you know, it's been nonstop us sending videos
you
back
said,
and
you
forth.
You said no to the link?
No.
You're like, no.
No, I didn't say no. I was like, whoa.
Oh, whoa.
Whoa. Okay. No, it was super cool. And actually, I told my friend that he introduced me to you that you're going to be on the show tonight. And he's super excited. And
thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And he was never into veganism. And now he's a vegan.
Was he into black metal?
Yes, he is. We met at Ozfest. He was by himself. And I was walking past. I'm like, you want to come hang out with us? And that's how we became friends.
That never happens to me when I go to my concerts by myself.
And he's a huge Doomies fan. And we went there after LaVey's showing.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
All right. It's been 6 minutes. You already mentioned LaVey. Anyway, so she has such a crush on him.
Not
anyway,
anymore.
So we'll talk about that later. So you, Hannah actually turned me on to you. Is this a... Have you heard about this? Like black metal people see your videos and they become vegan? Does this happen?
Yeah, actually, I've got, well, I don't know about black metal people in particular, but I get many messages on the YouTube or the Facebook or Instagram or something that that people thanking me for helping inspire them to go vegan or helping them along their journey in some way or another. And so it definitely happens.
So I guess the chicken or the egg question is, what came first, the black metal or the veganism?
Oh, well, metal in general very much came first. I mean, I've been a metalhead since like first grade or kindergarten when I got Dr. Feelgood tape and the Skid Row tape.
Oh, yeah.
And, like
those were the days.
Quite some time ago, and I was like, this is awesome. I had a friend in kindergarten or first grade that was like a year or two older than me, and he was like, check this out.
And you popped it in your Walkman and
put
the headphones on.
Exactly.
Dr. Feelgood!
that tape is absolutely classic.
Yeah.
It was still one of my favorites. But then I didn't get into black metal until substantially later, although I did get into King Diamond. I'm not sure if I consider King Diamond black metal. But
yeah, that's a tough one. I know very little about black metal.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's in and what's out.
When I first heard it... I was it was in college and towards the end of college and I said this is utter crap. I mean, I don't want all these keyboards in my metal.
Have a game.
Is
King Diamond the black metal? Hannah, you're the expert.
I'm not a fan of them at all.
Well, are they black metal? That's the question.
I would not consider King Diamond black metal.
No. Okay.
And even though when I also first heard King Diamond,
on black metal with the makeup and
Sure. An influence, absolutely. When I first heard King Diamond, also was back in one of those when you went into like a CD store and you picked out the CD and you went to the front to listen to it. And because you couldn't just hear anything at all the time ever.
Oh.
And I listened to it and I was like, it was King Diamond, the Eye CD. And I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
Right.
And then I wake up the next morning and I'm like, I want to hear it again.
Yeah.
So same sort of thing happened with black metal for me.
Yes. That's how Satan gets in there.
That's how Satan gets in. If you say fuck, Satan gets into your crotch.
So from what I've read, you had a girlfriend in college that was vegan?
No. My girlfriend in late high school and early college.
Okay.
She went vegetarian, and at the time I said, "Well, I'm not ready to. I'm not ready to do that." Even though I think it's the right way to go.
Yeah.
So I didn't do anything, and so a year went by, and I looked back at her and I said, "Well, she didn't die, and if I recognize this is the right way to go, then really, what am I so afraid of?"
Did you really think she was gonna die?
I mean, I didn't know. I didn't care that much. Like,
what a relationship that is.
No, I didn't to say that I didn't care if she died or not. I didn't
eat vegetables and die.
That's metal, man.
That's very metal.
See how things get taken out of context.
I throw everything way out of context.
He does.
No, but So basically, I mean, I recognized it as a fear within myself,
right.
And it wasn't a fear of anything actual or real. It was some deep-seated conditioned fear of nothing.
Right.
That like I think we all have this just conditioning that especially what like maybe on this very basal level of what we are shown to eat when we are small from our parents, we associate with some sort of safe, like
there's always
like,
been meat on the plate.
This is okay to eat, like really the most difficult part about going vegan is not finding delicious food to eat. It is overcoming years of personal and social conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay, well, I can't live with this fear of nothing in me. And so I faced that fear of nothing and went vegetarian for about 3 months.
Okay.
And then went to an animal rights group on campus, saw a couple videos before the age of YouTube.
Right.
And said, okay, like now I'm vegan.
Was on beta or?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
This was, I mean, this was like,
I'm kidding.
2000s.
Yeah, it's probably on.
Or 2000.
It's probably on DVD. I'm just kidding. But
yeah.
So you became vegan. What I hear, and Hannah, because you went from vegetarian to vegan,
mm-hmm.
and I'll talk. We'll be talking meat eaters in a little bit.
You guys stay over there. No.
Cheese is the word. Is that? I mean, I know you guys are used to it now, but that's the biggest giveaway.
Well, I mean, you know, it's
like worse than meat.
Well, it's it could be addictive. Your body breaks it down. There's a chemical in it that makes baby cows calm, called casomorphine.
Is
and,
there?
And some people can get very addicted to cheese, just like other substances.
Mm-hmm. Right. And isn't it ironic that my favorite vegan restaurant in L.A., obviously one of yours, and just a vegan restaurant like I've never seen is run by a person that's not vegan. That's Phil Doomey right here.
Was that a segue?
That's a horrible segue, but yes.
I thought it was a good segue.
It was more of an electric scooter.
Yeah, it was something like that, yeah. But you've told me the story before, but say it to all of our audience, how you came, because the first time I met you, I think was at that Das Bunker,
maybe
where you were cooking Doomy's tacos.
Could be. I did vegan tacos there for years.
Yeah,
along with everything.
Right.
And yeah, that's kind of I guess where we got started. I think we were doing clubs. We were all involved in clubs, promoting, DJing. And I think at one point I had a conversation with one of the guys that runs Bunker, and he's like, you know what this place needs? Tacos. We started doing tacos. Vegan tacos was a natural thing.
Right.
In the subculture, in the counterculture scene, I think the percentage of vegans is much, much higher than the rest of society.
Well, especially in the L.A.
But in the dark subcultures, yeah. You have all the bands
right.
that are related to veganism, activism, vegetarianism, mm-hmm. and I think you have a much, much higher occurrence. So growing up in that scene, it's like half your friends are vegetarian or vegan,
right.
You know, or some point. So it's like it's such an everyday, such a common sort of thing. But I think in the outside world, it was much more of a, at that point in time, it was such a weird, trivial thing.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm sure you both have gotten that question, you know, what do you eat? My mother was vegetarian for the longest time. Like, my relatives were confused, like, Thanksgivings. Like, what to feed her? It's like, feed her everything but the meat. I don't see what the problem is.
You would be surprised, people. I mean, when I was vegetarian, I'd say, hey, I'm a vegetarian. What are your options? They'd be like, oh, we have chicken.
Let me ask you, especially since you're vegan, does that piss you off? When people say they're vegetarian, but they eat fish or they eat chicken, it pisses me the fuck off.
Well, I mean, honestly,
be vegetarian or don't.
I don't even consider the word vegetarian like a thing, really.
Oh, okay. So if they're not vegan, they're not shit.
Well, to me, vegetarian just means it has no obvious boundaries. People say, oh, I'm vegetarian, but no problem with chicken broth and things, or or eggs and stuff. Like, what vegetable does an egg come from? If you're a vegetarian, and so yeah, I mean, people can say whatever they want. Honestly, I mean, there's lots of vegans that say whatever they want. I don't stop anyone from saying whatever the hell they want,
right?
Be it complete lies or nonsense.
But when somebody says a vegetarian,
so it doesn't matter to me.
They're eating fish in front of you. You're like,
It's the same as the same as anyone else.
Okay, honestly. So you're very, very strict.
Well, I have a problem with people that call themselves a vegan but are a convenient vegan. Then you're not really vegan. You follow a vegan diet or you're convenient about it. You're not doing it for the right reasons.
Right.
And I'm constantly getting into fights with people about that. Wow. It's just endless cycle. So
yeah,
this is my friends. I have to kind of put them in their place, and then you know, once I, you know, hit the nail on the head, they're kind of just like, ooh, well, never mind.
What was the first time you were doing home cooking?
It was about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had went for an horrible interview actually up here, and I was just depressed. I'm like, I've always wanted to go to this place, and I went down there.
You heard the legend.
And I got the
it's good depression food.
Yeah,
it's really is. Come eat your feelings.
I think I'm at one of my all-time lows. Let me go eat this crap.
But I got the mock Big Mac.
Mm-hmm.
I got that, and I brought my grandfather home some of your carrot cake, and it was amazing.
From Das Baker.
Das Baker.
Yes. So
of Das Bunker.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where we did tacos. It's full circle.
Oh, is that where you met Das Baker?
No, I've known Frank forever.
Oh, okay.
Too long.
So,
when was the first time you were ever at Doomies?
That's interesting because I know you guys. I don't know. It was longer than 2 years ago, but mm-hmm. I know I'd heard about it. I heard it. No, it was after the fire.
Okay.
Because I kept hearing, oh, Doomies is great, and I knew you, and I was like, oh, I got to check it out. Then there was a fire, and then when you, because I used to do shows around there at the M-Bar a lot.
M-Bar, yeah, I remember.
And I think I went there after an M-Bar show, and I was like, I think I had the vegan chicken parmesan.
Oh, that's way back.
Yeah.
We had like a full diner back then.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked the old full diner menu.
I like
but I understand the business constraints right. that prevent
bad for things business, from that happening. Great for eating.
Yes.
I think somewhere, someday, there'll be like the comfort food diner place that doesn't have burgers.
Well, now sure. you have the Mexican restaurant next door.
Yes.
Next
I took all Next Mex. I got rid of all the Mexican stuff at Doomies, moved to next door, and then did it right. Did it all legit.
And it's still vegan.
Yeah. That's what we do.
it's no, excellent as well.
No, I can't wait to try it. I was at some you had some event like late at night, I remember, and you were cooking. I was like, I don't know how you do it. And I still I'm going to ask you how you do this because I have no idea. And some of the stuff you were cooking was amazing, but and I can't wait to try that. But you were cooking Mexican food. I was like, this tastes like real chicken. And you're like, no, Phil's not vegan. He's actually cooking real chicken. Like, or maybe you weren't.
No.
So it was vegan chicken.
Yeah, probably.
You were having like a barbecue after hours, like at 3 o'clock in the morning one night.
Yeah, I probably catered like a wedding or something.
Yeah.
That happens.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes.
That's awesome.
Somebody has a wedding or something or an event or whatever. We do a big catering and then we have all this leftover. And then I go out to the club and then I round you guys up.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, hey, I'm having an after party. And then you come over, and then you're eating, you know, the stuff. Because I over prep.
Yes.
So yeah,
that's not a bad thing.
We do vegan weddings.
That's cool.
We do vegan bar mitzvahs, or you know, whatever the occasion. I don't give a shit what you want the food for. Just tell me what you need, and
so did you
and
guys
we do it?
Did you guys grow up cooking in your household? Like, how did you guys become chefs?
We did not grow up together.
Yeah. Well, I know that. I'm just throwing that out there. Whoever wants to take the question first.
Phil's my brother.
Yeah. Well, VBM, why don't you take the question?
No, I did not grow up cooking at all. When I turned vegan in my early years of college, I said, "Damn! Like, if I'm gonna eat good food, I'm gonna have to learn how to make this."
Especially 2000. What was that? 2000, 2001.
Yeah. Exactly.
My girlfriend was vegetarian at that time, and the vegetarian choices at the supermarket not so good.
Yeah, I mean, now I was living in Gainesville, Florida at the time, going to University of Florida. There
Gators.
And yeah the Gators and surprisingly Gainesville being a very punk and hardcore town actually has I didn't even realize it at the time, but it was quite vegan, like compared to many things at the time, because the vegan scene really then was in the punk and hardcore scene,
right?
And not in in most other scenes.
With the straight edge and everything, is that how
yeah. And I didn't realize this all at the time, but I mean, granted, the options were not ridiculously plentiful, but we had a Thai restaurant that had an entire vegan section on the buffet during weekdays. Wow. And we had a couple vegan options at some of the different restaurants in town. I don't think there was an all vegan place, but there was a few things, and which many places that were very visible, like even some of the very mainstream places, Leonardo's Pizza had vegan pizza and vegan cookies. And a few other things, but supermarkets, at that time, it was just on the cusp of when you're starting to see the first emergence of some of the modern products,
right?
Like the original Tofutti ice cream, I had a visceral reaction to. I thought it was the worst thing that I'd ever tried in my life, and I said, okay, I'm just gonna forget about having ice cream ever again. And then came along Soy Delicious, which is now So Delicious, and then Tofutti upped their game, and things kind of progressed.
You were chuckling at Tofutti,
Did you have that as well?
No, I was just laughing that you thought it was that terrible.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, and yeah, some of the early vegan cheeses were tasted like mixture of rubber and shoe.
Or
Yeah, exactly.
Boca burgers were okay. Boca chicken. Ooh.
Yeah. You don't like the Boca chicken patties?
Now.
Oh, yeah, and yeah.
It tasted like fish.
Yeah. Maybe they should just remarket it.
Possibly. I don't know. It's just like, oh, this is supposed to be chicken. The texture wasn't right. But have you always cooked?
I've always eaten.
I got that.
Since the day I was born.
You and me both. We got that.
Yeah. I like to eat. I don't know. I've been cooking for a long time. I don't know how long. A long time. I mean, even just doing the tacos has been now.
Right.
Something years. Yeah, Let's just leave it at that.
I know, but
a lot of years.
Yeah. You started out as a musician?
I don't know what the hell I do.
I was trying to figure it out.
I've done all sorts of shit.
So I saw a YouTube clip of you with the Rick Agnew band. Was that?
Was I playing?
That was pretty recent.
Was I singing or was
yeah,
I?
Yeah, you were singing.
Oh shit! You saw that? Where is that clip?
It's on YouTube.
Oh okay.
When you put Phil Dooley in, that's the first thing that comes up.
You kidding me? I don't Google myself.
Google yourself. It's right there.
I have no idea.
Was that a Roz Williams benefit? What was that?
That we did a tribute night or something. I forget. That was a while ago.
Yeah.
And I think we did like a dozen Christian death songs, but we had like four different singers, and we kind of went up and took turns.
Dave Batts.
Yeah. And everybody did a couple songs. I think I did like three or four songs.
Yeah.
And
you look good. You sounded good.
Well, thank you. I practiced.
Damn.
That's good. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to check that out when I get home.
But you were in a band?
I've been in a shit ton of bands. Traveled across the country, gone to Europe.
Yeah.
I did the band thing.
You've done a little stand up?
I've done the stand up thing. I've done the DJ thing, the club promoter thing.
Right.
Chef Life, gutter punk, shoegaze.
Did you grow up in LA?
I grew up in Orange County. Yeah. But I guess I grew up in LA too, because you grow up in Orange County, you're going to go to L.A. like all the time. So it's like growing up in L.A.
You ever been in Orange County?
No. I grew up in Orange County, Florida.
Florida. Yeah, there you go.
Almost. Well, no, I grew up in Tampa, Florida, but Orlando is Orange County, but in Florida.
I don't know about that. Yeah,
that's where I lived for a while.
I'm trying to think of the Florida equivalent of Orange County.
I don't know.
Tampa might be. No, but I hear Tampa's cool. Our Tampa's got quite
a well, I mean,
wait, are you saying Orange County isn't cool?
No.
It's really not.
Orange County's got a different vibe.
Didn't we just talk about punk and all that?
No, Orange County's got a different vibe. No, Orange County's got a great vibe. It's just a different vibe.
It is a different vibe. It's a different place.
Yeah.
It's a different set of circumstances.
It's literally 30 miles. You're in a completely different world. I'm not saying it's not cool. It's just not my world.
From here, it's more like 60. Because I'm like 30 miles from like Newport Beach, and I'm in Redondo.
Well, I guess it depends on what you're considering Orange County.
Yeah, what do you consider Orange County?
I'm from like beach cities, kind of North County.
Okay, because I grew up in San Diego too, so I would sort of.
Yeah, you got South County. South County's a different Orange County than the rest of Orange County anyway.
Right.
If it's got like a Playa de whatever or a Mesa La whatever.
Right.
That's like South County.
Okay.
And then you have like Irvine is like that buffer in between.
Mm-hmm.
And then anything above Irvine's like, that's fine.
Yeah. Irvine's kind of like Orlando, I think.
Irvine's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your cookbook. That's a cute play on words. How did you come up with that?
So yeah, the cookbook is called The Satanic Spellbook. And of course it's spelled Satan, S-E-I-T-A-N, and which is a vegan meat made out of wheat protein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never had Satan myself. I've never eaten Satan in that way. And so I was just, it's good, huh?
Yeah. It's fantastic. I mean, some of the burgers that Doomies are sort of satan, or they have wheat protein in them.
They're satanic for sure, but,
but that, it might not be pure wheat protein.
No, I mean, I guess technically satan is like pure wheat gluten.
Yeah,
with
yeah,
whatever yeah, your yeah, flavorants yeah, yeah, are. Yeah,
yeah. Right.
Whereas a lot of mock meats will use gluten as one component.
Yeah, what component?
Of a sort of a more complex, you know, product.
Exactly.
Well, you did exactly. you did a Kickstarter for the book and doubled your goal.
Yeah. I was kind of humbled and honored that people gave so much of a damn, and had a great Kickstarter for the book. And thank you all to the Kickstarter backers. It would have never happened without you. Absolutely, literally. So it became this full color book that is kind of a multimedia book in the sense that it has pictures of every step along the way as you're cooking and sort of numbered directions according to those pictures. So you can kind of take a look at what you have in front of you and picture the book.
I need pictures.
And they're not like I did. None of the pictures like are changed in any way. They're very normal looking pictures in the sense that that I didn't spray paint this dark or whatever. I ate everything that I made.
Do they do
that
with cookbooks?
Yeah. There's all sorts of little tricks. Like you put soap in the bubbling drink to like make it look like extra frothy and whatnot, and like white out instead of like white things and things like. No, I ate everything that I made out of the book.
Yeah.
And then also there are these little QR codes that if you scan the QR codes, it brings up a video of how to make whatever it is that you're looking at.
Wow.
So, and which isn't like an extra, it's kind of like, absolutely part of the book. So it's not like, just something a little bit extra. Cool,
it doesn't take you to an advertisement, and if you buy this, that, you'll find it.
No. It's absolutely critical to the book.
That's great for like people, because some people are visuals, some people are readers. So you,
exactly. I mean, I personally don't like cookbooks very much.
Yeah.
And so I had to make the one that I would want to buy and to read. And to use and basically I envision people watching a video on how to make it once or twice. Then once you make it once, you can just sort of look at the pictures and sort of remember and be like, oh yeah, okay, these were the steps that I did with that. Okay, yeah, I can do that again quick.
Now, Hannah, have you made any of BLM's recipes?
I haven't. I would love to though.
I just
have such a weird strict diet when I'm at home. When I make my own, I have my own recipes up and all that fun
stuff.
Okay,
well, there goes that question. And
you also got your 5 stars on Amazon. I noticed today.
Oh, sweet.
You
okay.
Are, yeah.
Awesome.
There's a lot. A lot of people love it. Yeah. I can't cook at all. Oh yeah, go check it out. But the weird thing about your videos is you don't measure.
Yeah. That is absolutely correct. I don't measure. I feel like veganism in general is all about liberation, and that's part of liberating your mind is to understand the main concepts of what's going on in a dish.
Mm-hmm.
And there are proportions when proportions are necessary, like use twice as much of this as you do of that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know the concept of whatever it is, if you add a little bit more or a bit less of something, it's not going to matter, and it's going to be to your taste anyways.
Right.
So once you know the main concepts, which is what the books and the videos really try to teach, then you'll see why the measurements just don't even matter. Like,
because I'm watching one of your videos, and you're like, fucking a little more salt, you know. It's like you don't really.
Well, and I mean, like I don't have a bunch of like measurement tools handy. What if your measurement tools are dirty? Does that mean you can't cook? Does that mean you have to then clean them all before? What if you can't find the one of the billion things that come in the little?
You cut.
I'm with you on that. I eyeball everything.
Yeah,
you cut vegetables with an axe.
Yeah, I mean you got to. I mean some of them are kind of tough.
So
yeah.
Do you bake?
Do I bake? I mean, I don't bake sweets very much. To me, vegan desserts are largely a solved problem in the world, in the sense that, of course, you can go to Doomies and get an absolutely amazing vegan dessert. I mean, not just saying that because he's
the
here.
I tell that
to everybody.
I don't care. I didn't make
you
it.
You can go to Walmart and their apple pie is accidentally vegan.
Yeah.
And how am I going to their Trader Joe's cinnamon rolls in a pop can and not only Trader Joe's, but at other places, cinnamon rolls in a pop can are usually accidentally vegan. How am I going to make a better recipe than taking a piece of warm apple pie, putting a big old scoop of vegan ice cream on it, and putting some sauce on it,
so
and eating that?
There's no excuse not to have a vegan dessert.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a solved problem in the world. You can get a Duncan Hines cake mix in a box.
Right.
Costs $1.
Mm-hmm.
And German chocolate cake, absolutely delicious. You just use egg replacer instead of the eggs, and right. It's vegan. So that's why, to me, I mean, I love desserts, but I mean, I can't make a better recipe than having a cinnamon roll, a cinnamon bun with some apple pie filling on top and some other things. So I'm not gonna focus on that. I'm gonna focus on what I consider not an obviously solved problem. And all those vegan desserts that I mentioned are cheap.
Yes,
it's good. It's cheap.
Yeah, that speaks to me.
It's done.
Yeah, and your recipes, you pride yourself on the, you know, I guess I'm
yeah being good and cheap. Way.
It's very, very cheap.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like I think like the reason why, one of the main reasons why I started the show is to show people that when I first started, I thought my food tasted pretty good.
Right.
It wasn't that difficult to make, and it was really cheap. Kind of three things that people thought veganism wasn't.
And your production values, even though you do everything yourself, does not look cheap.
Oh, well, thank you.
This video will look cheap.
I had it.
This video will sound cheap. Your videos do not look and sound cheap, and I admire that you do it all yourself. First off, you say it takes you about an hour and a half, 2 hours to put on makeup?
Oh, yeah, 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 absolutely.
Why?
Why?
It's white and black. What's the problem?
It's the pattern within the white that takes so long. Because I have to basically cover my face in white, and then I have to sort of cut out a negative of the black with like a Q-tip or whatnot,
right?
And then start going over it with the black,
right?
And to make the pattern, and it just and also suiting up in all the armor.
The armor, I can see.
It just takes.
So it's not just the makeup. It's
no,
the
yeah, yeah, yeah,
makeup's
yeah.
It's like
yeah,
a
yeah.
half hour. The armor's about an hour.
No, other way around. Okay. Other way around.
All right. Okay.
So how difficult is it to move around in it?
We suffer for our fashion, for sure.
Yeah.
But your fashion is not leather, because black metal...
It is not leather. It's
black metal, theory, because I don't... I what do you consider black metal? Because I'm trying to figure it out.
I mean...
If black diamonds... Well, King Diamond's on the...
Some of the classic bands that people will have heard of.
Mayhem.
Mayhem, Gorgoroth.
Right.
Dimmu Borgir would be more like modern pop black metal.
Bathory.
Yeah, Bathory was like on the border of like
Cradle of Filth's not quite there.
No, and Cradle of Filth definitely considered to be black metal, and I mean Immortal Emperor,
I was gonna say Emperor, yeah, because I saw the only thing about black metal that I know is I know the makeup, and I saw the documentary which is fascinating.
Yeah, Until the Light Takes Us.
Yeah, that's pretty fascinating. But I mean, I don't regularly. I don't know if I would know if what I'm listening to is black metal or not, or death metal or whatever.
It's pretty distinguishable. If all you need is to have someone with you for half an hour, play some songs and say, "This is black metal. Right. This is death metal. Right. This is black and death,
right?
Like Behemoth or something,
right?"
And,
so there's black and death.
Well, yeah. Some. I mean, there's mixtures of every genre.
And you're in black metal bands down in Florida. You live in Orlando now?
No. I live in LA now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I moved here from Orlando about 2.5 years ago.
So you both are musicians and chefs.
Right, because when you think musicians and vegan, you think Moby, Morrissey. You don't think black metal.
Now we do.
Yes. I mean,
you fucking should.
Yes, and death rock, which is your specialty.
I don't know. My specialty is shoegaze.
Shoegaze? I love shoegaze. Yeah.
Shoegaze.
Yeah. Have you been in a shoegaze band?
Yeah, of course.
What band?
I've had a couple of shoegaze bands.
Well, tell me the names.
I had a band called Pumalin years ago.
Okay.
And then more recently, a band called Red Lily. I had a solo project called My Bandage Heart. Punk bands. Used to punk band called Punch and Munchkins. Been in all sorts of goth bands for other people.
Right.
Been in industrial bands, but don't tell anybody.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Is Khaki Kings considered shoegaze?
Is who?
Khaki King.
don't even know. I'm fucking out of the loop, man. I'm in the restaurant world now.
It's so how did you get in the restaurant world? How did you go from doing tacos on the side of Das Bunker to, I'm going to open up a restaurant?
Well, as Brian was saying, early on, vegan food was fucking terrible. Right? And we all know this.
Bean sprouts.
Vegan food was terrible. Vegan restaurants were terrible. And there was so many vegan and vegetarian people in my life because of the scene. So I would end up at all these places, and they were all terrible. And I didn't understand why, because they didn't have to be terrible. I could see.
They didn't have to be, right? It's like a lot of the things that one would make now, it could have existed
back then, but nobody did it because nobody at the time understood like the movement of what was happening with people.
Mm-hmm.
So what you had at the time was you had healthy restaurants or restaurants that understood veganism as a health thing, making comfort food versions of health food that were like standing on this fence of fucking shit and crap,
right?
And it was terrible.
Right.
And I was just looking at it going, this is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen. And so I'm like, someday I'm just gonna open a restaurant and do this.
And you did.
Yeah, why not, right? Fuck it.
Well, I can do that. When you were a sponsor, I used to astonish guests and tell them what was on your menu. I still astonish people and tell them what's on
burgers and fried crap. That's what
it's
I tell
so
people.
Fried chicken.
It's done so well.
Philly cheesesteaks, nachos. The nachos were voted one of the 10 best nachos in L.A. from L.A. Weekly.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The only one without meat.
Yeah.
And I saw your nachos. They look good, too.
Nachos, man.
And it didn't seem like it was that big a deal to do vegan nachos.
I mean, I made a taco salad this morning with TVP that's existed forever.
Forever, right? Wow. It's been around forever.
Too. I had shrimp scampi once. I had shrimp po' boy last time I was there.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
We find the best things out there, manipulate them to make them even better, and then put details into them when we make them.
Ah.
It's all about details.
Okay, so there's little secrets.
Yeah, but that's any restaurant. That's the thing. There's a difference between good and great.
Right.
Because whether it's a vegan restaurant or a regular restaurant, whatever it is, come in.
It's just
the
a ghost.
Door it's randomly opens.
It's the ghost of
for
carnivores.
Of you,
don't worry about it.
Whether it's a taqueria or a burger place or whatever, vegan or not, everybody has the ability to make the same great product, but they don't because they don't understand the details of how to make it great. So, like, when you look at, like, you know, LA's got a million taquerias, but everybody you'll see one that's just crazy busy, and then there'll be one on each side of it that's just dead. Or you go to a Thai restaurant, and there's that one that everybody goes to that same fucking Thai restaurant. It's amazing, and there's one right next door, and it's dead. Burger place is the same thing. Why? Why is one amazing? Everybody talks about one, and then the other ones are just like, meh, it's details.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. It's details. It's understanding food, understanding how to make food great, what a perfect dish is, what a perfect, you know, specific thing is, or how to get there, and to put those details in it. And then what I do is I design a perfect dish, a perfect, you know, item, so that my cooks can fuck it up and make it great.
Okay.
That's it.
So it's made with love. That's what my friend always says. Your food always tastes so good because it's made with love. That's what she says to me, because you care about putting that much detail into it, making it great for everyone.
I don't know if it's love or if it's just compulsiveness to not have it suck.
And people must insist there's meat in it because it just tastes so good. It tastes such.
There's a lot of fat and grease and salt and stuff like that in it.
Right.
Well, which carries the flavor.
Good.
And lots of stuff.
By no means am I trying to say that it's health food.
Oh no!
Oh, no!
Nobody would never. No. Would ever say that.
Yeah. But nobody would go into like a regular burger joint or whatever and be like, "This is health food." It's not.
Exactly.
It's not what it's not what you went there for. Mm-hmm. If you want a salad bowl, then go to the salad bowl place. That's fine.
Right.
Oh yeah, all my vegan friends are like, "Who cheat day? I'm going to Doomies."
Yeah, it's a cheat day
awesome.
Place. Or in the case of guys like ourselves, it's a regular
everyday
place.
Cheat days every day.
It's every day. Yeah. So
it's
like the cheat code to life.
Yeah,
something.
Because I had a guest that my friend Joy Villa was on the show, and she literally
Joy, yeah I know Joy
yeah because she literally like heard one of our podcasts. It's like, and she's vegan. She's like, I gotta check this place out. And she just like she
oh you did that
I did that
oh thank you
yes I did. She's there a lot, I would imagine. Yeah, she had the Big Mac, quote unquote, on the secret menu.
Mm-hmm.
What else is on the secret menu? I have no idea.
Pretty much anything you fucking want. Yeah. If we have it. Can I use the F word?
Yeah, we encourage profanity.
Like. Okay,
so
good. I encourage like a sailor. Yeah. Great. Yeah, anything you want, if we have it, if we can make it.
Right.
If we're not busy. I don't know. That's how it used to be. Right. But we used to have more ingredients. Now it's just going to be like however you can reconfigure your burger.
Right.
So if you want to do your Big Mac with like chicken patties, go for it.
Ooh.
Yeah, you want to put bacon on it? Go ahead.
I did that last couple weeks ago. Yeah.
And the Big Mac is
grilled cheese buns? Go for it.
It's in my opinion, it's A, bigger, and B, better than the actual Big Mac.
Oh, yeah. You got to cut in half.
Definitely bigger.
Yeah. I could barely finish it.
So wait, you can still order the grilled cheese buns?
I think I don't know. I
tried to order that once, and they had no idea what I was talking about.
Okay. Like, I have new people. I tell you this. I've been gone for 3 months. I just came back, and I walked into the kitchen. I didn't know half the people there. So.
Where were you?
I was in Canada.
Because Doomies is in Toronto now.
Yeah, kind of. We're over there. We have a Toronto one. We were moving it across the street, kind of reworking it, and then we opened an ice cream place
vegan
as
ice
well.
Cream?
Yeah. I have a partner up there. He's crazy, and he wants to do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, so is it Doobie's Ice Cream? Or?
No, it's called, my partner does it. He's got this whole vegan Dale kind of a thing. It's very controversial right now. Google it. There you go.
Dale?
Vegan Dale. Anyway, so he wanted to do an ice cream place. He called it Not Your Mother, Not Your Milk, so it's NYM, NIM.
Okay. I'll stop Googling.
But I designed the ice cream, basically. He said, I want these... He wants Instagram. He's a marketing guy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He said, I want an Instagrammable. That's the new thing. I said, I need it to taste good. Right. So I will make it look good, but I have to make sure it tastes good.
I was wondering why Toronto's the next stop.
The next what? The next?
Because you got the Hollywood store, and then Toronto was the next store.
Oh, yeah. That's like a long story that I can shorten if you want. But basically, my crazy partner guy, before I knew him, he put on a festival in Toronto. He flew me out to do Big Macs at this Toronto festival that he did.
Right.
And then I knew that there was a girl that had come to the restaurant in L.A. once when she was here for a few weeks that lived near Toronto.
Right.
So I said, yeah, I'll do the festival.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can, you know, because then that's my free ticket to Canada to try and tell the girl, like, hey, I'm in the neighborhood. We should hang out, you know. Yeah, yeah. So I told her, I'm in the neighborhood. We should hang out. I'm doing this festival. Then you should help me out. And then she had nothing going on, so she did. And then...
That's always nice.
Right. So then the festival went well, and then they were like, man, this is great. You're doing so good. You should open one here. And I'm like, no, I don't even like this place. And but then she was like, you should do that. Like, I would work there, and I would love it. And I'm like, well, if you would love it, then I would open one. You know, so I tried. So I opened...
You see the commonality here? Right? It's a woman that inspires us all.
Yeah, so I opened a restaurant for a girl.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And does she eat free, or does she have to pay?
Does she eat free? Yeah, she eats free.
Oh, okay.
I think.
I'm curious.
She does.
The bunny rabbit logo of Doomy.
Yes.
That's supposed to be you?
Yeah, that's. I think so.
In a rabbit costume.
It's a guy in a rabbit costume. It could be me.
With a knife and a frying pan.
It could be whatever you want it to be.
But who came up with it? How did you?
I came up with it.
Yes.
I drew a sketch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a guy who knows a famous artist guy do it.
Okay.
You had a famous artist guy do it. I had a guy that knows a famous artist guy do it.
That's
but it was based on a character that was done by a famous artist guy. So this is like a second version of me based on a famous artist guy shirt. So we both have famous artist guy shirts.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what famous artist designed your shirt?
This was by this particular version of the logo, which I call the Extreme Metal logo. It was done by Christoph Spatzel. I hope I didn't butcher his last name.
Okay.
And he drew the logo. He's known as the Lord of the Logos in the metal scene, and he drew logo for lots of bands, and most notably Emperor, I guess, in this context. Right.
Oh, great.
Famous black metal band.
Oh, I'm familiar. I was going to say, you've played some festivals, and you got a little backlash. I almost said black metal lash, but there was some backlash. You were playing, you were doing a...
There's backlash at everything, so you have to tell me which one.
I was Googling something about you. There was a festival that you had... You doing a cooking demonstration headlined some black metal festival.
Oh, well,
and they're like, this guy's a joke.
Oh, that must have been the one in Vancouver.
Probably.
Canadians, right?
Because you said that what a pain in the ass, most serious so. Things.
Hey,
are...
I sold all the books that I brought there.
I'm sure you did.
And there you go.
Were
you
American dollars or Canadian dollars?
I think it was Canadian dollars.
You got robbed.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
But because you said that black metal and chefs are just they're so serious.
Well, it's three things. It wasn't my initial intention. But in one sense, there's three groups of people that take themselves very seriously.
Right.
Metalheads.
Hannah and who else? Yeah. No, go ahead.
So vegans, metalheads, and chefs all take themselves seriously to the absurd extreme.
Right.
And which I do take my metal seriously. Mm-hmm. I do take my cooking seriously. Mm-hmm. I take my veganism seriously. But at the same time, if you can't step back and for one of my chef friends who will not be named, she initially when she saw it in her culinary school, she's like, "Oh, what the hell? This is horrible! You can't just cut food with an axe." And because I mean they take a lot of time to cut things in various proper ways that they're paying a lot of money to learn about.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're like, just crush the garlic.
Yeah. I mean, but when you take a step back from it, you're not cutting the flavor into the food. And so, when the presentation and those aspects are not important, then I can totally make fun of them and take them to the absurd level. And so, yeah, everything that's important is important in there. But everything that's not is fair game.
Right.
But I mean, they're going to give you backlash for anything you do that's out of the ordinary. Like, I remember when I was going to beauty school, somebody was using a blowtorch, one of the Japanese students, to do a haircut.
Right.
And the instructors were freaking out, but it came out beautifully. You know? They're like, oh, you can use the shears and go like this and make it
perfect.
Have
you used blowtorches in any recipes? I would imagine some.
I have not, actually.
We have a creme brulee. So
I know. It's
there you go.
And I've
blowtorched a whole bunch of shit, but you know.
And the creme brulee is delicious. I actually read a rare bad review where they said, "Well, I will say the creme brulee was fucking great."
Thank you. I wrote that one.
Yeah,
I did write that. I have a pastry chef, but I wrote the creme brulee.
Yes. So, I was also reading. Now I'm surprised Food Network hasn't built you a set and given you a show.
They need to, Food Network.
We've actually had discussions before, and they seemed, at least the producers that I talked with, seemed to think that, even though they invited me there to talk, they seemed to think that their demographic aged upwards from what I am and are. So I have no idea if they're right or wrong. It would be awesome to revisit it.
Because
that was many
Iron
years
Chef.
Ago. But
you'd win Iron Chef hands down. You'd skate everybody. Show up with the axe, scare the shit out of everybody.
Just intimidate them until I won.
Yeah,
I always used to want to see you on like a vegan version of Chopped.
There was a failed attempt at that here, and which when I first moved here, I got like instantly invited to this thing, and I caught on pretty quickly that I'm not sure if it would. If it was sold in a solid thing at the time, but they tried to make a sizzle, really, and they gave it a try. But I guess they couldn't sell the show.
I mean, there needs to be something like there's Man versus Food and all these other shows. I'm just like, come on, where's the one for the vegans? You know, where you go on a road trip.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I
yeah.
I got back from a road trip and I found some cool little gems. You know,
Hannah wants to get out of town.
I agree.
I agree.
No, I'm glad I'm back. I'm gonna go straight to Doomies after this.
Well, yeah, so we're all going. Yeah. I'm going there, but and you're. I don't know if you're coming too.
Yeah.
But
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I already messaged everyone.
I guess we're all going.
Yeah.
You ready for us, Phil?
I'm going to have you order.
Yeah, I'll be around. I live there, so I'll be around.
Have you order for us.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I think we should go next door to Next Mex.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't tried Next Mex.
You haven't?
No.
The food is better.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
I really like it.
The food is better.
Yeah, okay.
I'm excited. It's both great, I bet.
Well, yeah, they're both great, I guess.
We're always smiling and grinning and happy when we're in there. So.
You need to check out Next Mex.
But also, I heard something about MTV was interested in you.
Oh, very, very, very early on.
Which surprised me because you have something to do with music.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was another thing that just did not work out to be a win-win situation.
Right.
There was a...
So if you get Black Metal Chef meets the Jersey Shore, I would love that.
Yeah, I mean,
Black Metal Chef teaches Teen Mom how to cook. That'd be great.
With an axe.
I am... open and willing to any win-win situations in this world. But sometimes people don't go for the win-win. They want to go for the lose-win and things like that.
Teen Mom, cut the ends off the chickpeas. They suck.
They're going to hurt themselves. You put Jersey Shore Teen Mom anywhere near an axe or a sharp object.
Oh, they've had some sharp objects. But
wit was not one of them, I'm sure.
Yes, exactly. Well, what can I tell you? So, so you got LA, you got Toronto, you gonna expand it more? Or?
I have two more things in LA that we're working on right now.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do. We have a project in City Terrace, which is over on the East LA kind of side.
I know where that is.
And that's gonna be kind of like a Nex-Mex Express / bakery because I'm gonna get my pastry chef the fuck out of Hollywood and move him over there. I need more room in the kitchen.
You're really excited about the Nex-Mex thing.
Yeah. I like the food. I like the food better.
Because that was a coffee shop.
It was, yeah.
And that didn't work out.
No, I don't think coffee's not my forte.
Right.
Maybe that was the problem.
That was a fun spot to hang out, but it was the decor is nice.
Yeah, it's fun now. It's more fun now.
Right.
We got like 250 pinatas on the ceiling.
So can you, I mean, because maybe a next Asian, next Italian?
No, we have another Doomies project planned for Culver City.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, cool. Closer to me. Nice.
Hopefully. Hopefully. But Culver City's got a lot of red tape and bullshit, so we'll see how that goes.
Now, have you gotten any backlash from vegans that your stuff is just, you know, it's not, because it seems that the reviews I've read on Yelp, the ones that are most critical are vegans saying, you know, this isn't really good for you. And it's like, what's the point?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, vegans are like, holy shit, I can't believe it. And vegans are like, it's not really, you know, vegans are supposed to be a little healthier than this. And,
I don't know. I don't even read the Yelp.
If you try to cater to everybody, then you're catering to nobody, really. Right. And you end up with a bunch of 70s, early 80s style vegan restaurants that taste like crap try to cater to everyone that cater to no one.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I always say, too. I'm like, not only is the food great, the atmosphere is fucking awesome.
So, yeah, I love the atmosphere, the music, the
get a beer, get a kombucha, whatever you want, there with your burger.
Do what you want, have a good time, eat some good food, hang out.
Your staff's
chill.
Always friendly, always.
If you bring a stick, can you hit the pinatas at Nex-Mex?
Oh, wait, there's pinatas?
Yeah, at Nex-Mex.
How are you telling
250 of them on the ceiling. You can rewind the tape to the part where we just talked about
that. Yeah,
that
kind of slipped right by you.
But, there's 250 pinatas. Don't bring a stick and hit them. There's nothing inside. I mean, you can still hit them. We'll probably kick you out. I mean, not you, but
yes.
Just in general. I don't know. We don't even want to really talk to you at Nex-Mex. We put up self-serve kiosks.
I saw
so
that.
We don't have to deal
which
with
which is
customers.
Awesome. I don't want to deal with people
right,
either.
Exactly.
Like, it's perfect.
I know. Nobody wants to talk to anybody anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's the future.
We're all just
going
to argue, you know?
Although I will say that Hannah is right. Your staff, every time I've gone, and trust me, I used to wait tables. I know what a shit job that is. They're all very nice.
You know, there's a picture of you in the back, and it's like kiss this guy's ass.
What?
He took that seriously. He was like, wow, really?
No, I mean, how do you find the staff? I mean, you gotta...
No, shit, I don't know. I need more staff. We're hiring.
Oh.
You know what's really cool is when we were there, too, they also gave us some recommendations on how to do our food up a little better. And it was so cool.
Really?
And we took them. We're like, yes, thank you.
The bacon on the Big Mac? Was that one of the
That was me. My girlfriend, she had got some crazy combo, and she was happy. The non-vegan.
Right.
Yeah, and she was just la, 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 la.
And by the way, whose idea was it for vegan animal fries?
Oh, those are good.
We straight stole that from In-N-Out.
Yeah, those are good.
I have no shame.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, it's a thing, right? Why wouldn't you do that? Yeah. They're doing it.
Because it says animal.
But yeah, but then it's the thing that, you know, if you used to go to In-N-Out, you're like, oh, man, I used to get a double-double and animal fries. Like, well, just come over here and get a double-double and animal fries.
Right.
And then your chili cheese fries are so good. I haven't had chili in years and years up until like a couple weeks ago.
Now, do you make chili?
I do make chili.
What's in your chili? Because I know yours is
demons.
I know yours is a secret, but
the fires of hell. Right. Mine is like the opposite.
Well, you
of
put
a secret.
Sriracha.
I've got an entire video on it.
You put
called Chipotle Crimson Hell.
Oh, okay. It's really hot then.
Yeah. I mean, it could be as hot as you want, honestly, because I mean, there's no measurements.
It doesn't measure.
So
you put sriracha in everything.
Yeah, actually, I don't think there's. I'm not sure if there's sriracha. I mean, I use fresh chilies. I use chili powder. sometimes chipotle peppers.
Any ghost pepper?
No, I mean, I do like ghost pepper, but only in slight amounts. I don't eat hot stuff just to like put my ass in the tub.
Right.
Like, that's not like the goal.
What do you eat to put your ass in the tub?
No. Actually, I wish I had a tub in L.A. You know how difficult it is to have a place with a tub in L.A.?
I
really?
Have a tub, yeah. And all my friends want to use it. And I'm like,
everybody wants to put their ass in it.
Yeah.
I have to clean up after them, too.
Just
what?
Come
what
to Hannah's.
What kind of friends do you have?
Put your ass in the tub.
Put
tub
rings girl? In the tubs.
I'm the only friend with a house.
I'm not taking a bath in your tub.
I mean, again.
Yeah, but what's the faux meat that you put in the chili?
Actually, my chili doesn't revolve around a faux meat. I use beans, just kidney beans, chickpeas, black beans. It's called three bean chili, actually.
So, all right. So, like, when holidays start coming around, like, your vegan,
but you could,
just
doesn't
like,
matter.
Sure.
Hey, you know, let's have a party at your house for the holidays.
Yeah. I definitely cook quite a bit for holiday meals. Yeah.
Well, funny you should mention that, because Doomy's home cooking always, from what I understand, you still have the Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners?
We used to.
Used to have that.
We did not this year.
I'm okay. A Christmas orphan.
Too busy. I think we did tamales at Next-Mex this year.
Oh, okay. Because I remember one time I got there, like, I think just before Thanksgiving, you had a lot of extra pies, and you threw a couple pies my way.
Yes, a couple pies.
Yeah. It was,
threw a couple pies your way.
And by the way, my parents love those pies.
Oh, you didn't eat them both?
I had a couple slices and gave them to my parents. They loved them.
Very generous of you.
Yeah, well, they're coming down, and actually, I'm going to, when they're coming to town next month, I'm taking them to Doomy's.
Awesome.
Oh, I got a funny story for you. I just remembered. So my
girlfriend. Well, good. There's 4 minutes left in the show.
So my girlfriend, who's not vegan, her sister is like, everything vegan's shit. This cheese is shit. So the night after we went to Doomy's, she had leftovers from her animal fries. And she left them in the refrigerator, and she woke up the next day, and her sister's like, oh, I ate your fries. They're really, really good. She's like, they were vegan. And what did you just say? Vegan was shit? What? She's like, you're lying. And they got into this like, little argument, but it was like, haha.
Well, faux cheese has come a long way, hasn't it?
I mean, but it, like, yeah, it, like, I mean, yeah, from the rubber and ass days to now, like, Miyoko stuff, probably at the
rubber and ass days.
Rubber and ass
There's
days.
So many things
I remember
you've
the
said
rubber
during
and
this
ass
that
days.
Are like album like titles for you.
The rubber and ass
the rubber
days.
And ass days. Yeah, the compilation of your greatest hits.
Yes.
So what's
that's the next cookbook. No rubber and ass in this book.
We make our own cheese, so I don't know.
Oh, you do? Okay. Like out of cashews, or do you don't want to tell?
I don't want to tell. It's soy based. I don't
want
to tell.
Okay.
All right.
But yeah.
I make my own cheese sometimes, and it's hard. I've made my own seitan, and that was a disaster.
It's quite easy if you just keep it basic.
So
there's a book
ago.
You can read that'll walk you through it.
That was before
it might
the
be
book.
Called
the
Satanic
Spell Book,
which you can find on Amazon and where else.
And veganblackmetalchef.com.
Awesome.
Now, are you still performing with your bands or?
Since moving to Los Angeles, I basically only work on my solo project now, which is called Forever Dawn. It's like industrial black metal stuff. Ooh. And
now how does that mix?
It mixes either well or poorly, depending on what you think when you listen to it.
Okay,
but. I'm working on the second album to that now. You can find the first album.
Death metal with a beat.
Yeah. It's kind of
like that's what I consider ministry. A fine line
they're not,
right
they're
there.
Not death metal. But
No, industrial-ish, metal-ish. Industrial
right,
metal,
right.
That's what I'd consider
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
have a
yeah.
beat.
Wait, but you were going to say you can find your band where?
Well, I mean, you can find it on YouTube or Bandcamp or just Google Forever Dawn Band. And,
Forever Dawn.
And you'll probably find it.
Okay.
And
are you looking to start a new band?
Maybe. I've actually been
all you
been
black
kinda,
metal people out there
kind of itching to get back on the stage and not cooking.
Right.
And yeah, so quite possibly.
Anyway, where does the time go? And I'm really hungry, so
me too.
We should stop the show pretty soon, but there's so much more I want to talk. Hannah, is there anything else? Any questions you had for these guys?
Are you going to bring the ice cream to LA ever, you think?
Not that brand.
Okay.
Do you have something to do with Cocobella?
I helped make it happen.
Ah, okay.
What's Cocobella?
Cocobella, it's in the same plaza. So we have Doomy's, Right next door, we have Nex-Mex.
Right.
And then on the other side, we have Coco Bella, which is a vegan ice cream shop.
It's which there, I help. Now?
What?
Is there now?
Yeah, it's there right now. I help make it happen.
As we speak.
But I don't do the recipes.
I
don't know
Coco
like
Bella. I've never heard of Coco Bella. Now you tell me.
Well, there you go. So oh, wow. I was like, hey, maybe it would be good if there was a vegan ice cream place in here, too.
And then I'm wow. Like,
there
wow.
you go. Let's make that happen.
Any more books coming up for you?
Any more books? Not at the moment. Maybe a second edition of the Satanic Spellbook, because actually the first edition is almost sold out.
Wow.
I've got the remnants of the first printing in my music studio mm-hmm. and what you see up on Amazon and veganblackmetalchef.com. But actually the one I brought today is kind of a beat up book. And which I'm about to have a shipping damaged book sale.
Wow.
In starting in September 5th, I believe, when I get back into town. And okay. So I'm gonna have announcements on that on the Instagram and the Facebook page. Okay. But if you want to get a discounted shipping damaged book, because sometimes when I ship them from Orlando to Los Angeles by the pallet, you're gonna get some shipping damage books.
No, I'm cheap. I'll get a shipping damage.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, to me, I would get it too.
So where do people get a hold of you? Where's your website?
The main avenues now are the Instagram, especially vegan BLKMTL chef.
Right.
Someone else stole my other name and put two cucumbers there. And
we will put a satanic curse on him.
Yes.
Excellent.
And the Facebook Vegan Black Metal Chef and right. veganblackmetalchef.com.
And one last question. You did a GoFundMe. You wanted to raise $35,000. You got over $70,000.
Correct.
What did you do with the extra money?
Well, the book printing is a bit more expensive than even I had thought at the time. So I'm glad I went over budget, and the rest of it I kept as profit.
Got it.
Awesome.
Because profit is okay.
Profit is
it
good. Is.
Profit is good.
Yes.
It
someday
is.
I'll have it.
Satan
too.
Says that.
And how do we get a hold of yes. you or Doomies or both?
I have a restaurant. You drive there. Mm-hmm. There's a parking
lot. What's the
address? And can we free parking come on in Hollywood?
1253 Vine Street.
Right.
Units 9 and
I
unit 8.
I can't believe I forgot that. I announced that every week on my show.
Fountain and Vine.
Fountain and Vine. Right. There's a whole parking lot.
There's a whole parking lot. Watch out for Friday, Saturday, and Monday nights. Right. There's valet, but otherwise it's all free and good
and,
to go.
And you're open until 3 on Friday and Saturday?
Correct. Until we can be open later someday. Who
right.
knows? Staffing.
And, yes.
We're hiring.
And if you're in Toronto, go to Doomies?
Go to the Vegandale Brewery.
It's called the Vegandale Brewery now?
Yeah. We moved across the street. There's Doomies is inside the Vegandale Brewery. There's the Not Your Mother place with the ice cream. We take ice cream cones and put a bunch of shit on them. And
wow.
It's fancy.
A bunch of vegan shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, you are hiring, so how would they apply for someone
who would apply for a job? You go to doomiesstaffing.com or something like that, or Doomies Staff. Find us somewhere, info, whatever.
Facebook.
Yeah.
Definitely a family you want to be a part of if you're looking for a job.
Yeah, because we're opening new places, so we need to. And we do the food for the hayride, so we need people for that, too.
Awesome. What's a hayride?
The L.A. Haunted Hayride.
I've never done that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice. I didn't know you did the food for
that.
I want to do that in general.
I don't think I've ever been on a
hayride. If you go, the food is our food.
Sweet.
Yay.
All right.
Or some semblance of it.
Hayrides are a thing in Florida for sure.
Yeah? Well, I think we should wrap this up and go get some food.
Well, I was just about to say that hay is vegan if you're interested. Hannah, how do people get a hold of you?
I'm Hail Hannah Bach, B-A-K-K, Hail Hannah Bach 666 on Instagram.
Of course you are. And I'm a goth comedian on all social media. It's been a pleasure. These guys... your food looks good. I've never had it. Your food is good. Let's eat.
So anyway,
everybody.
Eat some Doomies, and then next week I think
let's eat
some.
Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye.